This is Marina Rav Shlita. We all wish L'chaim Aruchim to family Klinger, following the outside last week of our dear friend Ashley, Rabbi Avram Tzvi Ben Mordechai Yaakov. He was a regular attendee at this year, and we still miss him very, very much. He set an example.
Shavers.
Oh, yes, electric shavers. I remember how he gave us a demonstration about making them free from, what was it? It was the foils. He set an example for all of us. He had midas which were all for us to follow, and we miss him very much. And we also say this year, in addition, that Ilu Nishmas Ashley's father, Reb Mordechai Yaakov Ben Avram, who was sadly passed away this week. The title of our talk is Chanukah Sparkles. I have spoken a lot about Chanukah in the past, so I'll try not to repeat anything that I've said in the past. When it comes to repeating, you do get some chazonim who repeat a lot. Apparently, Dan Abramsky, when he was the Rav of Duke's Place, he didn't seem to mind it when the chazon repeated his words. And his son was asked not so long ago by Mr. Steinhardt, why is it that your father, Dan Abramsky, allowed the chazon to repeat his words? And he quoted his father, apparently, who had said, if one doesn't repeat one's words, one is not really a chazon. And if one does repeat one's words, one is not really a rabbi. Chanukah, particularly according to the Hasidim, is a time when it's the final lapse of Teshuva, following Tishri and Sukkot, because the Tzemach Tzedek and the Maharil say that if one didn't quite finish off the job on Yom Kippur for doing Teshuvah, Chanukah gives that extra last chance. And this is hinted at by a pasuk in Tehillim Tzadi, Toshev Enosh Ad Dako Atem Teshuva V'nei Adom. And the word Ad is the gematria of 74, and it's 74 days from Motzei Yom Kippur till Chanukah, and the word Dako is the gematria of 25. Chanukah is the 25th day of Kislev. And the question which I'm really addressing today is as follows. When we say the Al HaNisim on Chanukah, we seem to put the emphasis on the event of the war and the battle between ourselves and the Greeks. And yet, when we come to the Gemara, it doesn't seem to deal with the battle, but it talks about the Nes Shemen, the miracle of the oil. The Rambam, in Hilchos Chanukah, mentions both miracles as being relevant to Chanukah. But if we look at Al HaNisim, Bimei Matis Yob Ben Yochanan Garen Godol, etc., Kishomdol Malchus Yoven Hoshal Amcho Yisrael, so the Greeks tried to overcome us, Lashkicham Tarosecho, to make us forget your Torah. So this was an assimilation. It doesn't say Levato at HaTorah, although afterwards they tried to do away with the Bris Milah, with Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. At first it was a friendly kind of influence. It wasn't that they were trying to do away with the Torah, but they were trying to show that human intellect is paramount. And so therefore they were saying to us, come on, let's use reason. And it was more of trying to make us forget Torah. You do get nowadays something called the Maccabee or Maccabiah Olympics, which are supposed to commemorate. But Maccabee spells out Michamocho Beilem Hashem. The idea of the Yehuda Maccabee and the others of the Hasmoneans who were fighting was in order to maintain the Torah standard and not to dilute them. The Greeks were glorifying the idea of the human body and beauty and putting an emphasis on that kind of thing, where they would dilute the Torah standards. That's not to say that exercise is a bad thing, it's a very good thing, but they saw the human body as an ideal in itself. I once heard the story of one member of this community who had a big dilemma. Danny Felsenstein was a young boy when the yeshiva stream started, and every Sunday morning he was going to a running club. And so his father, Mr. Felsenstein Sr., didn't know what to do and asked Rav Cooper, Zatzal, what should we do now that there's the yeshiva stream? And Rabbi Cooper, in his infinite wisdom, he said, tell him to come to the yeshiva stream from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. and then he should go to the running club. So that was an interesting story I heard about him recently, where we don't put exercise and the gym work as the paramount importance in our lives, but exercise is important. So the Greeks were trying to influence us and dilute our Torah, which makes it all the more surprising why the Reform and the Conservatives celebrate Hanukkah, because Hanukkah is a victory for undiluted Torah standards. Alright, so afterwards they tried to do away with Bris and Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And what is the relevance of that to Hanukkah? Hanukkah is 8 days and the Bris Milah is on the 8th day. And you always get a Shabbos and a Rosh Chodesh during Hanukkah. Shabbos is a remembrance, the Koron Maaseh Bereishis. And Rosh Chodesh is a day of remembrance. We say V'zochreinu L'tova when we bench V'yulachem L'zikaron, our references to Rosh Chodesh. So we remember what happened. But coming to Alan Nissim then, it's Lashkicham Tarosecho, Ulaviram Echuke Ratsanecho. The Greeks tried to do away with the chukim, the mitzvahs which have no reasons, because they were saying you have to use human reason. And so we managed to overcome them, Rabto Esrivom, Danto Estinom, etc., Mosati Gbram Yad Chaloshim. We were against great odds of Rabim Biyad Me'atim, and then and afterwards we came back. There's 3 years gap whilst the temple was not being used after it had been defiled by the Greeks, and the Hasmoneans came in with tiaros mikdashecho vidliku neros v'chatzre kodshecho, and they lit the candles of kavash meis and Hanukkah. But where does it talk about the miracle of the oil? Nothing. We know that there was only 1 day's supply of oil, which they found with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, which was pure. So they used that, and it lasted for 8 days. But it doesn't say anything about that in Alan Nissim. Come to the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara was written 500 years or so later, and the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, asks, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah all about? Hanukkah is a day when we are feeling festive, you don't fast, you don't have hesped. What happened? When the Greeks came into the Heichal, Tomu Kalashmonim, they made all the oils impure. But when they were overpowered by the Hasmoneans, Venitzchum, and they were victorious, Bodku velo motzu elopachech chodshol shemen, they only found one bit of oil, shoyimunach mechosma shochayin godol, and although it was only enough for 1 day, nasir bones vidliku memenu shemona yomim, and it lasted for 8 days, and as a result of that, future years were made as yomim tovim b'halal v'hodah, with halal and with thanks. So there's nothing mentioned about the war. So why is it that in Alan Nissim you've got this mention about the war and the conflict, whereas comes to the Gemara, you've got the word Venitzchum and they overpower them, but that's not just an opus addicta, as the legal people would say. It's just a passing reference. It's not really talking about the miracle. And it seems quite clear that when you look at the Mishnah, the whole concept of Hanukkah was enormously toned down. I mean, you don't have a sechter about Hanukkah like you've got one for Megillah for Purim. It's buried in the middle of Bamim Adlikin, the second perek of Shabbos, when it talks about it. Yeah. So there were 24 canonized, so to speak, books of Tanakh. Hanukkah already was coming after the period of the Nevi'im had finished. It was 200 years before the destruction of the Second Temple. It was coming to a different phase in the history of the Jews. But when you look at the Mishnayos, yeah, of course they celebrated Hanukkah at the time of the Mishnah. How do we know? Well, Masechta Sofrim talks about lighting the Hanukkah lights, and there's Megillas Tanis, which refers to the festival of Hanukkah. But when you go through Mishnayos generally, there's very little reference at all to Hanukkah, as though it really is toned down. You do have an obscure reference in Masechta Bava Kamo. There it talks about the light of the Hanukkah light being outside a shop, and the camel is passing by with its inflammable flax. So the flax takes light and burns away. So who is responsible for the damage which is caused? Now, if it's not Hanukkah, then the shopkeeper would be liable for any damage he causes to the flax. But as it's Chanukah, and it is normal to have a Chanukah light outside the shop, therefore the shopkeeper is not liable. So there you get a reference to Chanukah. Obscure. There's also a reference to Chanukah in Bikurim, because when you bring the first fruits to the temple, you make the declaration until Sukkot, but you can still carry on bringing the Bikurim until Chanukah without the declaration. After Chanukah is already the fruits for the following year. So there you again get a reference to Chanukah. But overall, Chanukah seems to get a very raw deal when it comes to the Mishnayos, whereas Purim gets a whole masechta of its own. So, well, Chanukah is really the last miracle, the last public miracle on record. And so maybe it was just realized only much later when the Gemara was written to put more emphasis on that miracle. After all, you have had many miracles in the Beis HaMikdosh. It says in Ovis, Asorah Nisim Shanasu B'Mikdosh. And the Gemara in Yuma on Chof Aleph says there were more miracles, but the Mishnah only lists those which really mattered. So why is it that we single out in the Gemara the miracle of the oil, and certainly in Ala Nisim we don't give any reference to it whatsoever? It's true that the miracle of the war didn't really last that long. The Hasmoneans, they disappeared after a while. In fact, they died by the sword. Yudah Maccabi, Shimon, Yonasan, Elozor, the son of Shimon became a Sadducee, they broke away. So although they were great tzaddikim, the Ramban points out that the four sons of Matishoah fell by the sword. The Hasmoneans disappeared. And 200 years later, the temple was destroyed. So the victory was not really a permanent victory to be proud of. So it would seem that Ala Nisim was formulated straight away with the Anshei Knesset HaGdola as part of our tefillah, to regard the war as something miraculous because it was minority against the majority. You had one miracle amongst many others, so not so much emphasis was given to the miracle of the oil then. But much later, when the temple was destroyed and the Hasmoneans had disappeared, Chazal were latching on to the miracle of the oil to give us an even more important message which lasts us through the Golos. And why was that? There are a number of reasons. Number one, it's clear from the way the Rishonim write that Chazal were worried that if we're celebrating the war, the idea of victory, it's not really a Jewish concept. We don't have military parades. In Jewish tradition, that if we are successful in our war, we thank Hashem. We don't say Kochi v'otem yodi, it's through our power, but it's through the power of Hashem. And there is the problem that people, in celebrating this victory, and there are songs about Yehuda Maccabee, oh, he was great and victorious, that we might overlook the fact that when we have a victory, it's directly from Hashem's hands. And so it seems as though Chazal were trying to play down the war victory in order that people should not have this misconception that it was a result of our own efforts. And when we talk about the idea of the Hasmoneans disappearing, why was that? The Chasam Sofer says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi, who was editing the Mishnayos, he felt troubled by the fact that the Hasmoneans took over. Although they were saintly and holy and victorious and they did everything the Shem Shemayim, they made one great fatal mistake. They took over the Malchus. They were in charge. And they were Leviim. They were from the different tribe to Yehuda. Versus Shevet Yehuda, the bracha of Yaakov Avinu was that Yehuda retains the Malchus. David HaMelech came from Yehuda. Shlomo HaMelech came from Shevet Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi was descended from David HaMelech. And he felt troubled by this fact that the Hasmoneans were doing what they were doing. So his whole purpose in editing the Mishnayos was to tone down the story of Chanukah, to tone down the victory of the Hasmoneans, who themselves did not last, as we've just said. There is another idea, and that is this. When you celebrate a military victory, it's not a clear sign to everybody of Hashem's love. You know, when you have a military victory, you've got strategic intelligence, you've got, although you're in the minority, you can feel as though you had better equipment or whatever it is. And so people have this misconception, says the Baruch Omar of Rav Epstein. He says that victory is not the clear sign of Hashem's love. In fact, many peoples of the world who are in trouble, Hashem saves from problems. So the fact that Hashem saved us might not spell itself out as something so remarkable, as something so great. So as time progressed and it came to the Gemara, Chazal felt it desirable to emphasize the love of Hashem was not spelt out from the victory, but from the nes of the shemen, the miracle of the oil. Because the miracle of the oil, you know, you could ask, why did Hashem even bother doing this? The B'nai Sochcha says, you know, why was the Nes Shemen needed? So we would have done without. We had done without the Shemen for 3 years, so then we'll do without it a bit longer. We are in the category of honest, forced. You can't do a mitzvah, so you can't do a mitzvah. Can't be helped. But Hashem went out of his way to do a miracle of chavivus, of love for the people of Israel, and that showed itself up as much more because he didn't have to do it. But because he did it, that showed his love for Klal Yisrael. Pardon? Yeah, there is that other question. So was it really necessary for, and when they said, we will use this oil, the Beis HaLevi asks the question, why couldn't they just make the wicks thinner to make the oil last longer? But they wanted to keep it the same way, because that's the way it always was, through love of the mitzvah and through hiddur of the mitzvah. So the whole miracle happens because of hiddur, and that is why we have the concept of mahadrin as mahadrin and amhadrin, where we add for the number of days and the number of people in the household, because the whole mitzvah of Ner Chanukah emanates from hiddur, that the nes happened because of hiddur mitzvah. So with the nisim, though, the war was seen by everybody. So we got the Ala Nisim as it was well publicized. It was in the national press. But the miracle of the oil wasn't seen by everybody. But the Gemara spells it out. So the question can still remain, you know, we've got this emphasis in Ala Nisim on the war, but not on the oil. Maybe there should have been something spelt out more about the oil then, rather than waiting till the Gemara 500 years later. So the Baruch Shema says another idea. He says, the wording we use in Bimei Matisyo Ben Yochanan is Lashkichon Tarosecho. The biggest problem for us is assimilation. The survival of the Jewish people depends on keeping away from assimilation. And what was Hanukkah all about? Lashkichon Tarosecho. To make you forget your Torah. As we said earlier, it wasn't simply Levatel Tarosecho, it was a very discreet spiritual war going on, where at first they were friendly with us. And Lashkichon Tarosecho is not fully realized by people when you're simply celebrating a military victory. But the oil, he says, alludes to the idea of forgetfulness. We once did a share about what causes forgetfulness, what is Kosher L'Shikcho. And there's a Gemara in Haroyos, Daf Yud Gimel, and there's a Gemara in Brachos and Zayin, which talks about olive oil being very good for your memory. It prevents dementia. I mean, nowadays they say the Mediterranean diet is the most healthy for you. So there you have it, the olive oil. And there's a Gemara in Brachos, which talks about when you dream about olive oil, how good it is. So olive oil has a message. The nes happened because of Shemen to counteract Lashkichon Tarosecho. In order not to forget your Torah, you have your olive oil on your salad in order to remember the Torah. But it's much more than that. Chazal go to quite a number of lengths amongst the Rishonim to link the idea of the nes of Ner Chanukah to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Just like we have the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, so we celebrate with the menorah of Chanukah, even though there were 7 lights in the Beis HaMikdash, and we have 8 lights. But the idea is the same of the menorah. You have a stem, and from there you have the branches coming out. Now, the Mishkan, when it was built, it was started on Motzei Yom Kippur, and it was completed on the 25th of Kislev, which is the date of Chanukah, the future date of Chanukah. Hence we read the Nesi'im on Chanukah, we read the Parshas about when the Mishkan was inaugurated. But Hashem wanted us to wait till the month of Nisan to actually bring the Mishkan into fruition. So he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, please wait. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't so pleased about waiting. He wanted to get on with the job. And there is a midrash which says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry. This day, the 25th of Kislev, will be one day in the future another festival, which will be for the Jewish people. But I want you to wait 3 months from Kislev till Nisan. What's the idea of 3 months? 3 months is like if a Gioris becomes Jewish, you should wait three months before she gets married. Or Grusha waits 3 months before she gets married. Because that is the period by which, after which you are certain that there are no problems as to whom a child is from. So there is an idea of 3 months of being sunken into something. And so Hashem wanted to wait 3 months from the 25th of Kislev to the month of Nisan. Now, when we look at the story of Purim, there are various hints which Chazal tell us about in the Torah. Hints about Mordechai, hints about Esther, Mordorah, Hastir, Astir. But none of the personalities of Hanukkah seem to be alluded to. We don't get any Divrei Chazal about Hanukkah. But there is one very strong hint about Hanukkah which comes up in the Torah. And that is in the Parsha of Emor, in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Gimel, Chaf Dalud, we learn about the Yomim Tovim. So we go through the whole list and we lay it on Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Every single Yom Tov is bunched together in the Parsha of Emor. And then after that, straight after that, Hashem says to Moshe, Taves b'nei Yisur, v'yikho elecho, shemen zayis zoch, kosis lamor lalos ne'er tomid. So the Ner Tomid for the Beis HaMikdosh is referred to with a Shemen Zayzoch straight after the Yomim Tovim. And really, what do we need that for there? Because we've already got other parshas to tell us about the oil and the menorah. We've got the parsha of Truma. If the Tzavet talks about the oil, in Baalos Chos Haneros we've got it. So what do we need it for here in Parshas Emor? So the Midrash says, Lomanoma Shemen, why is it mentioned here? L'melamed osidim l'chadesh Yisrael, because in the future there will be a new Yom Tov for Yisrael, added to the Yom Tov of Pesach, Shluah, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, there will be the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And if you look there at the end of Parshas Emor, the Baal HaTorim goes into more detail to show how certain aspects relate to Chanukah. He says, Shomach Shemen Zayis, the Sukkah, just like we say Hallel, all 8 days of Sukkah, so we say the Hallel, all 8 days of Chanukah. And there are other comparisons given in the Ramban and so on. So why is there this emphasis, we say, on the Gemara and thereafter on the Neis Shemen? Because Chazal wanted to link it closely to the Avdil Beis HaMikdosh, especially as we enter the Golus. Because simply 200 years later, the temple was destroyed, and we are yearning for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh. And although we are no longer able to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh, we carry on through our Golus, lighting the menorah every Chanukah.
It's interesting, I mean, last week's parsha, it's Loma Elapso, and that's got the same letters as Hadlock's name.
Yes, that's true. And it's at this time of the year. Yeah. Very good. So we're looking in Chanukah as a stage in the juncture of our history where the Beis HaMikdosh was coming to an end and we want it to be rebuilt. And if we're just talking about the Milchoma, about the war and the victory, we're going to lose sight of the fact that this was the period of the end of the Nevi'im. It was the end of the Tanakh as we know it. I mean, you want to learn about the story of Chanukah, you've got to look in the book of Maccabees. It's not in the Tanakh. It's in the Apocrypha, which is not one of the holy books. You've got to look at Josephus. The real story of Chanukah is not really in any of the holy writings, only until you get to Gemara Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph. So, as we said, this was recognized as being the last miracle, and so it was something to latch onto, because we want to have this miracle as a message to us for afterwards. Because the Ramban says, by recognizing open miracles, we will also learn to see the hidden miracles. What does that mean? Every day we say in the davening, V'al nisecha shebechol yom imonu, V'al niflav secha v'tavav secha shebechol eis, Erev v'vokev v'tzoroyim. Every night, morning and afternoon, we are recognizing miracles which are going on around us. when we say the bracha of Asher Yotza after we've been to the toilet, we are recognizing Hashem's miracles and the way our body works. We take it for granted because these things are happening day by day. But if there's too much of something or too little of something and you lose the balance, the whole system of God's creation can fall apart. I was just at a dentist on Friday and he used some glue and he told me how tricky it was, because if he uses too little glue, then what he's put in is going to fall out. If he uses too much glue, then it will destroy what he's done and it won't work. So there's a balance. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this is great. Just like the sun is 93 million miles away. If it would be only 92 million miles away, we'd shrivel up in the heat. If it would be 94 million miles away, we would all freeze. So Hashem creates a balance. We once spoke about the idea of blood clotting. If you have a wound, the body sends all its powerful soldiers to heal that wound with blood clotting. But if the blood clots too much, then it can kill you, chas v'shalom. If the blood clots too little, then your wound will not heal and you'll be prone to infection. So there's a balance there. And there's a book I once quoted from a non-Jewish professor who says how impossible it is for the world to have come about by accident because of blood clotting. He says it's like an aeroplane flying on autopilot on a very small runway to land exactly at that point. And that's what blood clotting is. There's the immune system. There are so many aspects of photosynthesis, the rain cycle, how the world functions, and we take these things for granted. So the Ramban says, recognize the open miracles that Hashem does, and then you will begin to realize that the hidden miracles are also just as amazing, just as miraculous, and that is what we're alluding to when we're davening, etc. And there's an interesting piece by Rav Mordechai Sasson in his Sefer Dovah Be'ito. He says there's a mitzvah of Chanukah. You light it before it's too late in the evening. When it gets dark, ideally the mitzvah is the beginning of the night, half an hour. And then it says if you can't, you light Ad She'tich Le'Regel Min Hashuk. What does that mean? And we translate this people when people are no longer walking around in the marketplace. So there was once a godel in Eretz Yisrael who lived next door to a cinema, and there were queues outside till very late, so he lit his Chanukah light till very late in the evening because his Ad She'tich Le'Regel Min Hashuk was very, very late. But he says there's another hidden meaning to Ad She'tich Le'Regel Min Hashuk. Regel doesn't just mean people walking around. Regel can mean familiarity. Familiarity. Hergel. Haregel Vener, somebody who is familiar with the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, will become a Talmid Chacham, or his children will become Talmid Chachamim. Regilus in the mitzvahs. So if you are falling in the trap of losing it, of forgetting your Torah, Lashkicham Torosecho, Shetich Leregel Minashuk, then the light goes out. You have to keep the light of Torah burning before you get to Ad She'tich Leregel Minashuk. Not to fall into the trap of regilus, of the mundane mediocrity that we have in our daily lives, not to lose sight of the fact that everything Hashem is doing for us in His wonders must not be taken for granted. There's another idea. We spoke about the war being toned down and the Neis Shemin being toned up. And Rav Dovich Feinstein writes, he says, we're not into having these military parades. We don't want to gloat over the downfall of our enemies. Ah, you could say, what about Purim? We gloat over our victory over Amalek. Yeah, okay, Amalek is different because we got a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek to do away with Amalek, because they are Kiyod al Keskor. Hashem's name is not complete until Amalek is done away with. But otherwise, in any other military exercise, we should not strike bad chords with our enemies to make them feel bad that we just won over them in order to ensure our survival. We're not trying to celebrate their downfall. There are some believe that the strategy of the Israel Defense Forces is, after a battle like the one in Gaza, let them think they won. You know, give them a good bashing. But let them come out afterwards and let them claim that they're celebrating their victory. Because it's better for us that way. There'll be less animosity that way. Whether that is the strategy of Tzahal, I'm not quite sure, but some have suggested that that's what it was recently. So rather than celebrate their downfall, we celebrate our survival with the Nair, with a light. And there's another idea behind this. We want to publicize the miracle. And how better can we do it with a simple candle, a tiny little light which lights up in an area of huge darkness? Chazal were particular that we do a parsume nissa, we publicize. Now, we're not going to publicize our miracle by having a military parade. Okay, we could meet at the cenotaph every year and have some sort of military parade, but it won't carry the same message like the Chanukah light. And we find Parsumei Nissa with other miracles as well. We celebrate the coming out of Egypt with the four cups of wine, with Seder night, with the matzah and the morrow. And how do we do that? By sitting everybody around the table, the family and guests, called Dichven Yeseh V'Yechol. That is a Parsumei Nissa. And we sing about it in the Moed Tzur. Pesach. But Chanukah is a bit different because we're publicizing to everybody outside. What about Purim? Purim, we also publicize the miracle by reading the Megillah. But that is in the shul. The publicizing is in the community. So we've now got three different kinds of publicizing. With the publicizing of Pesach, we're sitting around the table as a family. With the publicizing of Purim, we're publicizing in the community, in the shul. But with Chanukah, it's the whole world outside. We put the Chanukah light outside our front door or in the window to demonstrate our Judaism to everybody. Why is there this difference? Pesach is a festival, L'mishpacho Seichem, where the Korban Pesach was emphasized the importance of the Jewish family. So we sit as a family around the Seder table. Purim was friction within the community. Yesh am echod mefuzo mefarod beino amim. We were criticized as a people, so we symbolize our togetherness, our achdus, by coming together into shul to read the Megillah. Chanukah, there were the external forces of Hellenism which were fighting against us. Lashkichom tarasecho. Those external forces coming to attack us into within, so we fight back by having the light shining outside to fight against the influences of Hellenism. Hence the Parsumei Nissa is reflected to everybody outside. And the Tzfas Emes writes that through lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh, it created a spiritual illumination in the whole world. In the same way, when we light our Chanukah light, we are doing a physical as well as a spiritual illumination to the world outside, and not just to us within. Ner Elokim Nishmas Odom. But the problem with the story of Chanukah was not really the Greeks. It started off with Jews who were being influenced. But the first act which the Hasmoneans did was actually some Jew who was standing up, willing to comply with the request to offer up to idolatry. And so the Hasmoneans killed him, and that's how the whole thing started. So in a way, it was a war against Jew, because there was the influence coming in to the Jews. And unfortunately, some of the worst anti-Semites are the Jews. And that is why we have to maintain our standards to be uncompromising. And we have Torah min ha-shamayim, that even though many of us are divided in our ways, that we have different derachim, we've got chassidim, we've got misnagdim, we've got yekas, but we are into achdus, that united we will stand. And that really brings us to another idea. When we look at the question we asked about why less emphasis on the war and more emphasis on the Ner, the Nes Shemen. Because we spoke about, not to gloat over the victory of our enemies, how Chazal link the idea of the Beis HaMikdosh and the Mishkan to Ner Chanukah, and all these reasons we're saying that we put the emphasis on the oil. But the menorah itself spells out something very important, which is the most symbolic thing about Chanukah. And it's very interesting because you walk into this shul, you have this wonderful gold engraving of the stonework of the menorah next to the front door. And the menorah has one stem, and from that one stem come the branches. So we spoke about Homon regarding us as Am Echad Mefuzor Mefarod Bein Amim, that we are scattered, but the phrase is Am Echad, we are one people. We don't want external divisions breaking us up. Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg once said to the reformers and the conservatives, we want to be united with you, but we don't wish to be assimilated amongst you. So it's bitter to have to argue with our brothers, and he writes this in his work, Es Achani Mevakesh. But even those who are keeping to Torah, undiluted Torah, we have different Dorochim. And there has to be mutual respect. Chassidim, Yekas, Misnagdim, the Literatures, the Sfardim, the Orthodox, the Modern Orthodox, the Kabbalists. Rav Kupa Zatzal said that it doesn't matter what kippah you wear as long as you keep the Torah and you are learning. There were 24,000 pupils of Rabbi Akiva who died because there wasn't Achdus amongst them. They were God-fearing men, they were learning, they were great tzaddikim, but they died. But Hillel and Shammai, although they disagreed, they had respect for each other. Gemara in Eruvin Yud Gimel talks about it. They were friendly with each other. They shook hands with each other. So the menorah is a symbol of unity. And how is the menorah made? The menorah is made as miksha achas. It's beaten out from one lump of gold. And Moshe Rabbeinu was perplexed. Gemara Menachos Chavtes says that Moshe Rabbeinu found the concept of the menorah very hard to understand. Because Hashem was insisting that you're not going to have different components to make up the menorah, to stick on a piece here and to stick on a piece there. It was very important that it was miksha achas, from one lump of gold. And the word miksha is related to the word kushya, difficulty. It was difficult to understand. But from those seven branches, you get the idea of diversity. The Shloim Truma writes that the 7 days of creation come out from the menorah, but to show they were all from one source, from Hashem. And so it's the same with us. We're all one source. The tefillin we wear has different compartments in the Shel Rosh. We have divisions when it comes to our intellect. But when it comes to doing, when we have the Shel Yad, there is only one compartment inside. It's not split into four parts. When it comes to the doing, we're all one. We're all together. When we walk into shul in the morning, we say, Mar Tov Olecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael. So why do we say that posuk? It's a posuk about Bilam looking down at Klal Yisrael. He was amazed at the way they built their tents, that one wouldn't look into another. Very nice, no hezekriah, no damage caused, no injury from overlooking, brilliant town planning. So he was impressed. So he said, Mato Olecha Yaakov. But why do we say that when we come into shul first thing? Because Bilam was noticing how we all had respect for each other, and that we regard as the prelude to our davening. So that we walk into shul, we say, Mato Olecha Yaakov, that we have our respect for each other, because only then can we qualify to be able to daven. And there's an interesting idea brought by Rav Osher Weiss at the beginning of his Sefer. He says, there's a din when you do start davening in these gloomy, dark winter mornings. The din is from Mishe Yakir. You can daven from Amad HaShachar, from dawn, but it's only b'dieved. It's best not to. We start from Mishe Yakir, when you're walking in the street and you can recognize somebody 4 amos away. It's getting light, culminating in your Shema Mishmone Esra at the time of sunrise. So he says another idea about Mishe Yakir. We translate it as being when you can recognize somebody in the street, because it's getting light. But there's another idea, that the prelude to davening of Mishe Yakir is when you recognize the other people around you. When you got that respect for the other people around you. And when you have that mutual respect, then you can enter your davening. So we spoke about the Shel Rosh and the Shel Yad of the Tefillin. And the yad, your hand, has 14 joints in it, if you count your knuckles. Yad, your dalad, is the gematria of 14. When two people shake hands, then it's two yad coming yadayim coming together, you get the word yadid, you get friendship. And when you've got those two hands coming together, you've got the gematria of 28, 14 plus 14, which is the gematria of koach. Our strength lies in being able to shake hands with each other. And this is the idea of the menorah, this is the idea of Hanukkah, that we're all from one stem. And the oil can't mix with water, it can't mix with other belief systems, it has to have the seal of the Kohen Gadol, because it's separate. It's the idea of Kedusha. That the first act of the Maccabees uprising was the killing of a Hellenized Jew, as we said, and we have to be uncompromising when it comes to Torah standards. It's interesting because a few years ago there was some vandalism, some vandals broke into Aish in Hendon, and they made a big mess. And when the photographers came from the newspapers, somebody in Aish said, hold on a minute, he went off and he brought a menorah and he put it on the beamer. He said, now you can take your photographs. Because when it goes into the non-Jewish press, how do they recognize the synagogue? With the menorah. That is our symbol. And it's the menorah which represents our unity. Got a couple of minutes left. It happened to me 32 years ago, the night before my wedding. I didn't know it, but apparently somebody had organized the family to come round into a certain house and to eat there and to chat there. I don't know, stag night you might call it, but I didn't know about it. I didn't know. I spent the evening with a couple of friends in the local kosher restaurant. So I turned up there and I greeted this fellow, Shalom Aleichem, and I stretched out my hand. He wouldn't shake it. He was upset with me. He wouldn't even say Aleichem Shalom. He said, where have you been, etc, etc. And I got a bit of a telling off. I had no idea what he was talking about. So I just smiled and I said, it's very nice to be here. But it had an effect on me. Just when I put out my hand and he didn't shake it. And I feel even now, 32 years later, felt like there's something sour which came from that. All right, he thought I knew and I didn't know and I thought, etc, etc. But it's amazing what that handshake can do. We need achdus, and that achdus leads us to the geula. And mitzvah Hashem, the symbol of the menorah, symbolizing our achdus, that we are warm and close with each other, together amongst our friends, as a community, and in Klal Yisrael, that is what will lead us to the geula b'mehera v'yomeinu. Amen. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Rosh Hashanah, 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 Rosh Hashanah